the tools I had to study about eagles. I wanted to know what it was about an eagle that the Lord used as a picture to liken his relationship with his children. And so as I studied some things about eagles, and I found out, I think the Evans told me, that there is an eagle sanctuary somewhere. Is that in our area, Lodi? Was that it?
Chippewa Lake.
So I never had made over there to that yet. I was glad to hear there was an eagle sanctuary. I really thought the only kind of bird you folks honored around here was buzzards. But I guess not. For those of you visiting here, they do have a buzzard festival. I know that's repulsive for any intelligent person, but they do have a buzzard festival around here. But when I heard there's eagle sanctuary, I thought there's some hope for them yet. Now, Exodus chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, but keep your Bible open, and we'll be turning to some other passages. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Let's pray. The Lord, I ask you to open our understanding to your word this morning, and I pray that as we consider the eagle, and as we consider your relationship to us as our Heavenly Father, that you'd give us lessons that would be used as an encouragement to us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you gave us this symbolism here in your word about how you care for us as an eagle cares for her young. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to clearly express what's on my heart, and I pray it'd be received by your people, and I pray you'd do its intended work here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord said it, speaking to Moses here. He said to Moses, I want you to address the children of Israel. As you know, Moses was the intermediary between God and the nation. When Moses spoke, really it was God speaking. God used Moses as a mouthpiece. And so the Lord said to Moses, he said, remind the people of Israel how that I have led them out, and remind them in verse 4 that I brought them and I bore them on eagle's wings. So I looked up the word eagle in scripture, and if you're interested in statistics, you'll find a mention of eagles over 40 times in our Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, over 40 times God references the eagle. Now, the eagle is a bird of prey, of course. You understand that. It's one of the more formidable birds. They've got tremendous eyesight. And as I studied the eagle, really, I learned quite a few things I didn't know. The eagle, because of its strength and power, has been used by countries long before there even was the United States to symbolize as their national bird. Several European countries have the eagle in their flag and in their coat of arms. So America wasn't the first country that adopted the eagle as its symbol. I read that during one of the constitutional conventions, many of you probably know this, there was another bird that was put on the negotiating table by a man named Ben Franklin. How many of you heard that story? There was another bird that was put forth as a candidate for the National Bird of America. Anybody remember what that bird was? Ben Franklin was, by all accounts, a pretty smart man, but he must have lost his mind on that day. Can you imagine having a turkey as our national bird? Now, I'm thankful it didn't go through. We'd be eating eagle on Thanksgiving. Amen. So, Ben, I'm sure he meant well. And there's some very redeeming qualities when it comes to turkeys. But you just don't put a turkey on your shield going out to battle. It doesn't inspire much confidence. So you have the eagle. And God said to Moses, and ultimately to the people, God said, when you consider how I've cared for you, I want you to have in your mind the picture of an eagle. Now, I would say that if you're a Bible reader, you'll know that one of the most famous passages in the Bible that deals with eagles is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The Lord said that if we wait upon the Lord, he'll renew our strength and we will mount up with wings as eagles. And so over and over you find the Lord likening eagles. In the book of Revelation, the Bible speaks in symbolic terms that there come a day in the tribulation which a woman will be given eagle wings to provide for the nation of Israel and to carry her away in the desert. Now, some of that's symbolism, some of it's not. But the point is, there's something about the eagle that, if we'll learn the lesson, will give us insights about how God deals with us as his people. Let me give you a few of these lessons I've learned about eagles. And again, I'm not the expert by any means, but I tried with what limited tools I had to study about the eagle, and I found some very interesting things about it. Hold your place here where you are, and then go to Psalm chapter 46. Here's the first thing I learned about the eagle. It's continually present with the young. While the young are in the nest, one feature of the eagles is that they're never left alone. Now, that can be said of a few other birds as well, but when it comes to the eagle, if she has eaglets in the nest, there's never a moment that those eagles are left alone. Her and her mate will take turns. One will stay in the nest while the other goes out and hunts and gathers. But there's never a moment that the eaglets are left alone. If you ever see a nest and the eaglets are left alone, something is not right. Something has happened out of the ordinary. Because normally, one of the qualities of an eagle is they're very protective of their young. They're always there. They're always present. And doesn't that just sound like the Lord to you? Isn't he always there for you? There's never been a moment that you've been alone. Sometimes you feel as though you may be alone, but in truth, you're never alone. If you're a child of God, he is not only present with you, but he's resident in you. He told the disciples when he went away, he said, "If I go away, I will be with you." And then he said, "I will be in you." Now, we know what he meant by that. We know he was talking about the Holy Spirit. We know the Lord was going away in his body, his flesh, and his body wouldn't be with the disciples anymore. But he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come to you." Now, an eagle never leaves her children. Look in Psalm chapter 46, verse number 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. A very, what's the word?
Present
help in trouble. You'll never call God's name out in prayer in your darkest hour and get silence. When you call out to your Lord, to your Father, you know something you can count on? He's going to answer, present. He's there. And the eaglet, never alone. They know the mother, father, always going to be there. And that's the way it is with the Lord. If you've been saved any time at all, I'm sure there's been times you've been tempted to think you have been left alone. Maybe the times you may be tempted to think you have been forsaken, but you haven't been. I've learned something about the Lord. There are times when I can't see him, but there's never a moment when he can't see me. Now, I wish I knew what he was doing all the time. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be very nice. We think it would be nice to know all of God's reasons. But maybe it's a very wise thing God doesn't reveal to us why he does what he does in many cases. But I do know this, he's there. Folks, the greatest promise God ever made to any man was the promise of his presence. That's the greatest promise God can make. Far greater than giving a man wealth. Far greater than giving a man fame. Far greater even than giving health, far greater even than giving joy, the greatest promise God ever gave to a man was when he said to those who love him and trust him, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." I don't think that we really consider what a privilege it is to have a God who is always present. If you study mythology and you study the false gods and false deities of history, you'll know that, for instance, the Greeks and the Romans, they viewed their gods as sort of temperamental, angry, always in one mood or another. Sometimes their gods would go away and be gone for a long season. But when it comes to the true God and the true faith, we know something about him. He's always present. He's not only with you, folks, but he's in you. If you've trusted him, you have a friend that does, as the scripture says, stick closer to you than a brother. So the first thing about an eagle is this, it's always present. It's always there. Either the mother or the father, always there with the babies. But then that brings me to the next thing I learned about eagles, and this is very telling. There comes a time when the adult eagle, the mother eagle, knows that it's time for her children to become more independent. And I found that she begins to do something very strange. And God told us about it. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32? Find Deuteronomy 32. And here God gives you a picture of some of the activities of an eagle When that mother eagle senses that it's time for the eaglet, that baby of hers, to become more independent. So for the first few months of the eaglet's life, everything is provided for him. He gets served, if you want to put it this way, breakfast in bed. When he wakes in the morning, he knows mother or father is going to come down and bring him his food, and he's got a soft nest. If you've ever seen an eagle's nest, they're quite elaborate. And one thing that they have the advantage, when they kill the prey, they are meat eaters, and when they kill the prey, what in many cases, for instance, if it's a rabbit or something like that, or a squirrel, the hides of the animal they've killed will be used to actually soften the nest itself. So once they've devoured the meat, what's left of the animal they've killed will be used to sort of make the nest more comfortable, to cover over the rough spots. It's a very, very unique thing to watch. During the course of this message, studying for it, I came across a time-lapse video of a bald eagle building a nest. And all kinds of things she would bring back to that nest. Just things that were not related. Articles of clothing, a lot of hide from different small animals, and what she did is she made a sort of like a carpet laid down over the nest, so when her babies were born, they'd have a comfortable place to live. And for those first few months, they had the best life you could ever imagine. Everything they wanted was provided for them. They didn't have to hunt, they didn't have to gather. They didn't have to put themselves in danger fighting with other animals. They had everything they needed. But just as any good parent knows, you do a great disservice to your children if you do not teach them how to become independent. See, the mother eagle knew that she wouldn't be there always. And if her eaglets don't learn to hunt and gather for themselves, it'd be a very great disadvantage to them. And they wouldn't make it long in the wild. So look what the Bible says about a mother eagle. Deuteronomy chapter 32, find verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. What the Lord's saying in these two verses is, just as that mother eagle did certain things in the life of her young, so did God in the life of his children. Now, there's a few words I want you to note here in verse 11. Number one, that word stirreth. You see it? As an eagle stirreth. Then the next word, fluttereth. And then that phrase, spreadeth abroad her wings. And then the last phrase, beareth them on her wings. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 different activities here undertaken by this mother eagle. And the order is most remarkable. Look at the first word, stirreth. If you study that word in context to what an eagle does, it's very interesting. Once the eagle gets to the age where he needs to start venturing out, learning life skills of his own, the mother eagle will remove all those comforts out of the nest. And if she's laid down hide from an animal or something like that, she'd take all that out and she tosses it over the side. And then she begins to take her beak and break up the sticks that make up the nest. And then she'll take those sticks and twigs that once laid horizontally to make a flat surface, she begin to take and turn them upright. I've seen this. I came across as I told you, that time lapse. And I saw this eagle, and she'd begin to break apart that nest. If you didn't know better, you'd think she's destroying her home. But you see what she was doing? She's making that nest more uncomfortable for her children. She doesn't just say, all right, get out. She does it little by little. And she makes it a little more uncomfortable. And the next day, there's a few more sticks. The next day, a few more sharp rocks. And then the day comes where they say, hey, mother's killing us here. We got to go. That's what it means. The Bible said she stirreth up her nest. She takes it and she begins to change their lifestyle. She begins to make them work a little more on their own. And do you know that's exactly how God works with us? Sometimes God knows the best thing for us is a test of our faith. And sometimes those tests involve making it a little more uncomfortable. How many of you folks know you have to be real careful? I mean, every last one of us, you got to be real careful when you presume upon God. In other words, when you think, Lord, I know you're always there. I know you're never going to leave me. And those things are all true. But we sort of stop working. We maybe get lax in some area of the Christian life. And we just imagine that it's all going to be as it always has been. And then God does something in our life to really test our faith or maybe to move us along down the road in His will. And sometimes that can be a very painful thing to go through. Now, for these young eaglets here, struck me when I considered the fact that they didn't know why mother was doing what she was doing. I mean, this is the same mother they had looked to for months to feed them. This is the same mother that would spread abroad her wings and shelter them from the rain, from the cold. And now it's our own mother who's taking our comforts away. Anybody here know what it's like when God begins to change things in your life? You know what it's like when things get a little uncomfortable and seems like there is a restlessness inside? And folks, don't resist that. Recognize it very well may be God trying to move you along, spur you on to something He wants you to know. And He doesn't do that to destroy us. That mother eagle does not do that with the intention of causing great suffering and affliction to her children. Don't get the idea. She knows it's something they need. How many of you would say that you drew closer to God in some of the darkest moments of your life than you have maybe when you didn't have as many problems? Isn't that the way it is? Now, folks, don't get the wrong impression. Don't think if you're suffering from something or if you're undergoing some crisis that it's God punishing you for something. That's not the case. Sometimes it could be, but I'm talking about God strengthening you. He's bringing you along. He knows what's going to be over the next valley, the next mountain in your life, and He's getting you ready for it now. And this mother eagle, as she works and as she breaks up the nest, she knows in her mind that that's the very best thing she could do for her babies. And after a while, they get the message. And they realize, we got to go. It's not that mother doesn't love us anymore, but she knows we've got to learn some things for ourselves. And so back here in the verse 11, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read to you something in the book of Psalms that if it wasn't in the Bible, you almost couldn't believe any man could say it. But since it's here, we know it's true. Listen to what David said concerning a trial that God had put him through. I'm reading to you from Psalm 119. I want you to listen. I'm going to give you about three verses from here. Verse number 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. He goes on to say here, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Can you imagine a man can say that? It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why is it good? The verse says, that I might learn thy statutes. The last verse I want to read to you from this passage is even more indicative of what God's seeking to do sometimes through trouble. This is in verse 75. Listen closely. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Isn't that powerful? He said, Lord, I know that, yes, you've afflicted me, but you've been faithful in it. You've had the right purpose in doing it. Now, those are statements, I suppose, that a man or a woman can really make with certain conviction after the affliction's passed. I'm sure we could all give testimony here of looking back over a dark time in our life when at the moment they didn't see the reason for it, but now looking back, you sort of see what God was doing, maybe why He was doing it. That's what David learned. I don't want to give you a false hope, however, folks. I believe there's a great many things about the Christian life that we'll never have revealed to us down here. Sometimes God's gracious enough, and He does give us some reasons, but There's a great many things we're just going to have to take by faith, and we're going to have to be content with the fact that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So back to the eagle. Number one, she's always with them. She's always there. She never leaves them. And then she knows how to bring change to that nest. She begins to break it up. I remember I'd been here about 3 years, and a certain family was in this church, and a faithful family. They loved the Lord and still love the Lord, but I noticed that something about the family was changing. Their attitude towards different members was just not what it used to be, and I can't really find a word to describe what it was, but I just knew there was a difference. And this went on for several weeks, and then she came to me and she said, "I believe the Lord's stirring us up here because He has another type of Christian work for us to do." That's really the last thing any pastor wants to hear. But it turns out that the Lord did open up a job for her husband in a Christian ministry in another state. And now they're over there serving the Lord now. And as far as I know, God's blessing them. But you know what God had to do here first? He had to stir up the nest. And I don't know what all they did. They didn't share with me in detail what they were going through, but I knew something was not right. And looking back on that now, I think it was God trying to get them to make the move, but He had to make things here a little uncomfortable for them. Maybe that's the way it's been with you. She knows the time when it's time for the eaglets to go. Now look at something else here in this verse quickly. I'm back in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 32. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young." You ever seen an eagle flutter? I just saw it, as I told you, on the documentary. I couldn't imagine being there, but it showed a picture of this mother eagle, and when she spread her wings abroad, my soul, I don't remember how many feet it was from one wing to the other. But in that nest, once she had started to break up the nest and her eaglets were getting a little more uncomfortable, she would just stand there right in the nest and just go to town flapping those wings over those children. And they got real nervous. Wouldn't you? I mean, they were just scattering around like ping pong balls. And then one by one, they started going over the edge. They were learning to fly. Mother had made it uncomfortable, and now she's really going to scare them. And now this is their mother who's they've never seen like this before. Folks, there's going to come a time in your Christian life when you're going to learn some things about God that you just didn't know. You may learn some hard lessons about how God works. And you must be clear in this fact before you get down that road of questioning why God this and why God that, knows that He does what is truly best. And He knows all the facts that you don't know. And He knows all the possibilities. And so it sort of perplexed me. Why would this mother eagle flutter such as she did, seem so violently? What she was doing is another step down that road to increasing the faith. And then the commentary came on, and he said, "What we've just recently discovered, we believe that when she flutters that way, she's showing them how their wings are supposed to work." Isn't that something? And you know what that told me? Before God ever set you on a dark path or a troubled path, He's already gone down that path before you got there. And He knows what's down the path. And so as that mother begins to flutter and flap those wings, those babies get the idea, hey, we got these too. Ours aren't as big as mother's, but we've got them too. And then they try them out. Now here's the conclusion of the message this morning. Look at how this verse ends. Number one, she stirreth up her nest. Then she fluttereth over her young. She spreads abroad her wings. That's that fluttering process. She taketh them up and beareth them on her wings. Now, this particular point here, I found out, differs with different species of eagles. But basically, it's all the same. When they get to this point where the mother knows it's time for them to learn to fly and be more independent, she will let them crawl upon her back, full wingspan at this point. And then she takes off. And they're hanging on for dear life. It's a remarkable thing. If you ever get to look at this, you ought to do it. And she'll let them fall. Not very far, but she lets them free fall. And when they're free falling, man, those wings are going crazy. But she does a remarkable thing before they get too far down. She puts her nose down and she zooms under where the eaglet's falling. And with wings spread abroad, she knows she's going to be there to catch them. She's not going to let them fall to their death. And just as they're falling, sort of comical, I mean, I hate to say it, but here they are just flailing about, and Mother Eagle knows where they are. She's faster than them, you see. She gets right under them. They land on Mama's back. Guess what happens next? Do it again. At the end of that day, they're thoroughly terrified. But you know what those eaglets learn, folks? They learn that Mother's not going to let them fall. She's going to be there to catch them. And every time they take the fall, they get a little more courage. Every time they take the free fall, their wings get a little stronger. How many of you know that's how the Lord works? Sometimes you feel like, Lord, you've just left me all alone out here. I'm just free falling. I don't have any direction. I can't tell which end is up sometimes. He won't let you fall. The book of Jude, very next to the last book of the Bible, you know what it says about the Lord Jesus? The book of Jude says that God is able to keep you from falling. Just like that. I don't know where you may be this morning in this verse. You may still be at this stage where maybe you've just been saved a short amount of time, and maybe you're still in the green pastures and enjoying the fellowship of the Lord. And I believe after a man is saved, a woman saved, I believe there is a period there where the Lord sort of shields them from a lot, lets them get their legs under them. But then after that Christian begins to grow a little more in their Christian life, it's not that the Lord doesn't love them anymore, but he sort of lets them go a little further and a little further. You see, he's testing us, folks. He's trying our faith. So I don't know where you may be in verse 11. Maybe you're at the part where the Lord's breaking your nest up a little. Maybe you know you ought to do something for the Lord. Maybe it's some work God wants you to do for him, but you've just not done it, and he's making things very uncomfortable for you. I've got some good advice for you. If you know God's dealing with you about something, it's much better that you submit and surrender. Otherwise, he may have to make it more uncomfortable. And he may have to make it more uncomfortable. Don't force God's hand that way. Respond to him quickly. Then you may be at the point here in verse 11 where the fluttering started. Maybe you've had to use some faith you didn't think you had. Maybe God's showing you how the wings work. And then maybe, finally, maybe you're at the free fall place. Seems like maybe the bottom's falling out from under you. The Lord's there. He's there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you always, as he said, even at the end of the world.